Let's pray. Dear wonderful Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will be upon us. Help us to have open hearts and hear what you have prepared for us. In your name, amen.
Hola.
Whoa.
Perfect. Somebody doesn't know that I yell a lot. They'll figure it out. That's all right. Hi. You know, my dad said something funny. He said, people told me once that I was going to be a teacher, to which I said, You ever had people that like tell you what you're going to do someday? And then you don't want to do that specifically because they told you that you're going to do that. You know what I mean? Be really careful what you say you're not going to do, because God has a way of writing your biography with your I will never statements. Staff? Yeah? God writes your biography with all the things that you're never going to do, and it turns out that ends up being your life. So, you know, I'm never going to be a millionaire. I'm never going to, you know, have a house by the beach. Oh, my goodness. You listening? You know. Hey, I appreciated the prayer. He said that our hearts would be open. I know that you guys have been praying for the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate that, because I have some interesting news, maybe. The interesting news is that you're not going to hear anything today from me that you couldn't have just heard from probably one of your teachers. You're not going to hear anything from me this week that you couldn't see for yourself in the Bible. We just don't always value the things that we take advantage of, you know? That we don't value the things we take for granted. I don't value the things that I take for granted, you know? So the really cool thing is that the Holy Spirit teaches and the Holy Spirit preaches, and that's an exciting thing. I stood here as a sophomore, my first time ever preaching, which was something, by the way, which I said I was never going to do. I will never preach. God's like, wait, what's that? Perfect. Lining you up, student week of prayer. Great. Anybody ever spoken for student week of prayer? Were you scared spitless? Were you trembling in front of your peers? Yeah, maybe? Okay. Well, I was. I stood right here in this very building, and so I just want to say, kind of an intro, that I have such a heart for Great Lakes Adventist Academy. I spent 19 years of my life here. This place, I am who I am because I spent time at this place. I am who I am because people invested in me. Like the people who are investing in you right now, you know, were people who invested in me. And this is a beautiful place, and I was just praying in the back before we got started, and I was thinking, man, I emceed on this stage. I preached here once. I've been here for weeks of prayer since I was a little kid, getting dragged here in my little, you know, baby, whatever they call those things that parents like swing the kids in, you know. And if you're a really ambitious parent, you really swing them until like the wife is like, wait, hold on, can't be dead. Okay, so I have a heart for here, and that's why I wanted to come, because not because of anything that I have to say, but because the Holy Spirit has changed my life from who I was just in the last 5 to 7 years. I've really come to fall in love with Jesus in a way that has been so meaningful, and I hope that maybe you can catch a glimpse of that. Does that sound okay? Are we on board with that? Sweet. I need a volunteer. Who likes money?
I do.
You do? Dude, Warrior City, come on up. What's your name, amigo?
Brian.
Okay, Brian. Hi, I'm Jordan. By the way, my dad did say that I'm Jordan. Where I teach, I'm Mr. Reichert. I'm not going to do that here. You guys already got one. You have a really good Mr. Reichert. I'm fine with being the Mr. Reichert from where I'm from, and I'll go ahead and be that. You can call me Jordan. Some of you maybe already know me as Jordan. Okay, well, Brian, this is what we're going to do. let's have the front row of people stand. Go ahead and stand. Yeah, there you go. Not too shabby. Okay, this is what I need you to do. will you count the number of people that are wearing glasses for me? Okay. Okay, go ahead and sit down. Didn't they do a good job? Congratulations, you have a pulse. You stood up. Yay. Okay, here we go. Brian, question. Facing me. How many people were not wearing glasses? Dude, come on, you just counted. No, facing me. Don't worry about them. He's 18. Oh, man. Dude, you can't, like, sync my illustration at the very beginning of the whole thing. No. Were you guessing? Do you know how many people were not wearing glasses? Why not? By the way, you get $5. You get an Abraham Lincoln. Best president we ever had. And he looks good on money, too. Give him a round of applause. Okay. Hold up a second. Wait. So why did he not know how many people weren't wearing glasses? He walked down this line and he looked at every single person here, right? Didn't he? Didn't you see him do that? So why didn't he know? Why didn't he know who wasn't wearing glasses? He wasn't looking for that. Where you put your focus is always going to determine what you see. You're always going to see the thing that you're looking for. You could be walking down the hallway. Everybody's looking at me. Everybody thinks I look dumb. And then, oops, oh, no, I tripped. Oh, my social life is ruined. Everyone saw. Nobody's thinking that. You know why nobody's thinking that? Because everybody's already too worried that they're not looking dumb. You know what I mean? That's a true thing, all right? Where you put your focus will always determine what you're going to see. I'm going to invite you guys this week to try to put your focus on the things of Christ, to try to put your focus in the Bible, to try to put your focus in, and not just the stuff that you've always automatically assumed what that means. We hear the word faith and we're like, ah, yeah, God and religion, and that's great, and angels, the right controversy. You know, no, that's not, you know, we just automatically group everything into this one big category where every nice word means the same thing. And that's not the way it is. I want to invite you guys to a really serious, like, looking into God, maybe for the first time. And I just remembered that I wanted to show you guys some pictures before we got started. Can I show you guys some pictures? Is that okay? Okay, here we go. Okay, just a little bit of background on me, so you know a little bit more about me. Tall guy, orange shirt, is currently on the road to being rich and famous. He's a dentist. He's my brother. I am not the one who is on the road to being rich or famous. Short guy in the front, blonde hair, cheesy grin. My best friend that I grew up with, his dad taught here. He's now my brother-in-law. So fellas, if you have a best friend, marry sisters, it's awesome, okay? Just saying. Other guy standing up, striped shirt. His name is Michael. He's a computer engineer, technician, and I don't even know what else. And that's me with the mullet. So to give you a sense of perspective, I grew up here on this campus. Faculty Drive is my home for the first many years of my life. That's right there on Faculty Drive. Trying to go through who is currently occupying which house. Is it the Mendozas who are on the left side of the duplex? Is that the most current thing? What?
They just moved.
Okay, so whoever is in that side, that's where that is. Neat. Okay. There it is. Rocking like it's 1997. Bring it on. All right. I really thought that haircut was cool back then, too. My mom helped me design it so I could look like Jonathan Taylor Thomas. It was a great moment in my life. And I remember when those shirts were cool, too. Anyways, just, you know, giving you a little bit of background to me, and you're probably paying more attention to Mr. and Mrs. Riker because it's fun to see how, yeah, they're eternally young, eternally young. That's me, anyways. Okay, I went to high school here. I was involved in the stuff that you guys are involved in. I feel like I don't want to be that guy who's like, I get you. You know what I mean? Like, some people sometimes try to, like, make this really, like, tell me I fully understand your whole life, all your experiences, all your... No, I don't. I'm not God. But I did participate in some of the things that you guys participate in. I was in Arrows for a lot of years. Here I am doing something apparently not very well, because if you know anything about doing that, I shouldn't be doing this with my legs. Anyways, that's a zit. And that's the reason I put this picture in here. Life will go on after acne. Here we go. I might know some of you guys from Camp Asable. Raise your hand if we have interacted at some point in time at Camp Asable together. Okay, very exciting. I apologize. I repent in dust and ashes if I don't remember your name. I'm better with like memories than I am with like names. You guys know what I mean? Like, I could tell you where we talked, what we talked about. I could tell you like what happened, but I might not be able to remember your name. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. But I know several of you I had in my cabins, and I might mention at some point in time this week, Matthew, Bobby, Mr. Ellis. So, and some of you might even be in this picture. I don't know. I married my high school sweetheart who I met here. She's cool. She's a better person than me. Always marry up. It's good. All right. Always marry up. She is a very sweet person who has taught me more and more about the love of God each day, which is a good thing. And now I teach at Indiana Academy, where apparently we wear neat sweaters. That's one of my students there with me. I've seen the hand of God in my life in a lot of different ways, and I don't have some testimony where I was like some, you know, I wasn't like some meth head who, I'm being serious, like I wasn't some meth head who like left the church and had some like wild, crazy experience where like, blah, and then I was, you know, and while I was being kidnapped, all of a sudden, you know, an angel threw open the door and I don't have a story like that, okay? I'll tell you what I do have though. I have a story about how God has changed my perspective through getting to know him personally through the Bible and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I really think that that can be a very real thing in your life. And it's possible that you've already tuned out what I'm saying because I'm another person that represents a long list of people who come and talk about God. Here are the things you have to do, and here are the things that God doesn't like, and here's, you know, how you have to, you know, approach God, and here's, you know, this long list of things, and sometimes you listen to that, and it almost begins to be stressful, you know? You know what I mean? And you feel like, well, who am I that I could ever find acceptance in God, that he would ever think that I'm somebody worth his time or his effort, you know what I mean? And so I'm a person who has found that it's so much more than what you just think. Take some time this week and really pray for the Holy Spirit and really get in your Bible and just wait and see what God's going to do. I'm just telling you. This week, our theme is Unless. We're looking at fundamentals for an authentic life with Christ. I think the word authentic is key. To me, it's really important to not just be a fake, you know? Like, it's really easy to exist in an environment. It's really easy. Like, I think that you guys have probably just about one of the best and awesome staffing of a school, bar none, like, in the entire North American division. You guys have excellent people, okay? I think I come from an excellent, I think I work at an excellent school, too, and I think, you know, same brand, same product, different location, right? But, it's really easy in an environment like this that's very spiritual, where people are always spiritually minded and people pray often in the hallways and you ask somebody how they're doing and they say, oh, praise the Lord. And you're like, well, okay, what did that mean? Does that mean you're doing good? Like, I hope you're doing good. You know what I mean? It's very easy in an environment like that to maybe feel like you're the person who doesn't fit in, or maybe feel like in order for me to function in this environment, I got to kind of play the part as well. You know what I mean? I got to play the part of kind of like being the Christian as well. And I'm not dissing in any way. Hear what I'm saying and not what I'm not saying. I'm not dissing in any way people talking like that. Because you know what? That's great and that's awesome that somebody has that sort of a walk with Jesus that you ask them how they're doing. They say, praise God, I'm doing well. That's awesome, okay? But maybe you're the person who you don't feel like you have yet had an authentic personal connection with Christ, you know what I mean? And so this week we're going to be looking at a series of statements. Each message, each, you know, morning and evening is going to be a statement. Unless, ... then my walk with Christ will never truly be authentic. It will never truly be a real thing. Does that make sense? Briefly this morning, in the little bit of time we have remaining, we're going to talk about this. Let me show you a little overview of the week. There you go. Unless I see with new eyes. That's this morning. Unless I see with new eyes. I will wager that if you are not willing to see the Bible or God with maybe a new set of eyes through which you have not seen him before, then you might just always only see the thing that you were previously focusing on. Remember how he only saw the glasses, not the people without the glasses? Because his focus was narrowed to a certain thing, he missed everything else, right? Even though it was staring him in the face. Even though he was close in proximity to it, right? Okay, so that's that. Tonight we're going to do Unless I Value the Bible. If you've ever questioned, how do I know this is real? How do I know this is true? How do I know if somebody didn't just make this up? We're going to maybe talk a little bit about that tonight. You can see the rest of it. That's that. Have a theme verse for you guys. We're going to say it together, but we're not going to do it now. We'll start it tonight. I want to talk now about the concept of unless you're willing to see with new eyes. Question for you. Does anybody have a Bible? Okay. Tonight, all those hands are going to go up, right? Can we get a thumb? A thumb in the air? All right, sweet. So tonight, bring a Bible. just want you to have your, you know, I want you to be armed if you're coming for, like, combat with the forces of evil, you know? You guys know a guy named Paul in the Bible?
Yeah.
Okay. What do we know about him? What do you know about him?
Hey, let's not call me out.
Okay. Okay. And Paul, what do you know about him? All right. That's all right. No worries. That's fine. What else? Paul, what do we know about him? Was he always called Paul?
No.
He was once. Okay, and he became Paul. And what do we know about him? Okay, yeah, he was the equivalent of a modern-day terrorist. Just saying. He was a person from the Middle East. I'm not trying to say anything about that, but I'm just saying. No, listen. Hey, Jesus Christ was from the Middle East, okay? So we need to be careful here. He was a person from the Middle East who was totally bent on killing and persecuting Christians and eliminating them wherever they existed. By intimidation, by fear, by force, whatever means necessary, right? Wouldn't that be in a lot of ways kind of what we would consider maybe somebody like a terrorist to this day? Okay, hey, if you have your Bible, if you're one of those people who do have your Bible, kudos to you. Also, open up to the book of Acts, okay? The book of Acts. You there? Wow, you guys are better than me. Sorry, I'm going. Acts chapter 7. We're going to go to the very end of Acts 7. Here we go. I'm in verse 60. It says, and so we're looking at the story of a guy who was getting stoned to death. His name is Stephen. It says, and falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul, what does it say? Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Look in the Bible. You have it in front of you, hopefully. And Saul did what? Approved of his execution. He was okay with it. Yeah, this guy can die. This guy can die. That's okay. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. How are you feeling about him? This is what we're going to do. In the next minute, I want you to discuss with the person sitting next to you a question. Here's your question. You ready? Yeah, you got to think, okay? You can do it. I believe in you. Here's your question. At what point in Paul's life did he become a sincere person? At what point in Paul's life do you think he was a sincere person? Go. Take a minute. Go.
What's his name?
Clayton
Jordan.
That's awesome.
We got some people talking. We got some people that are like, I know the answer. Just waiting for him to call on me. And keep going. You got a few more seconds. Land your plane. All right. So, at what point in time did Paul become a sincere person? Since day one, he was always sincere. Somebody said when he started killing people. What else? What else? Does anybody disagree with that statement? You have a different idea about that? Okay, what do we got here? You guys are rock solid. You know that? That's a good thing. You guys are thinkers. What is sincerity?
Belief in what you're doing.
Check it out. Paul. We know the story. I'm in Acts 9, starting in verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, that is, the Christians, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, enter the city, and you will be told what you're supposed to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And check it out. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. I realize there's a lot of context in this verse, but I think this point is a good one. A lot of people spend a lot of their time as a Christian with their eyes open, but seeing nothing. You know what I mean? I think Saul was sincere from day one. Even in doing bad things, right? Where your focus is will determine what you will see. Galatians 1, I think, vindicates my point a little bit. Galatians 1, verses 13 to 16, this one's for free, I'll just let you listen to it. Paul talking here, he says, For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age, of my own people, and so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. In other words, I really believed in what I was doing. Now, some people say, well, you know, Paul was convicted at the death of Stephen, and at some point in time, he felt like he was supposed to follow Christ. And I believe that's probably so, but he might have kind of dismissed that. And then he did come to a point where he was truly believing what he was doing, even in making himself an enemy of God, right? He truly believed, you follow? Are we together? We together? Okay, good, I don't want to lose you. So here's the thing. I love this next verse. So he's just described, you know, I really and truly did believe in what I was doing, and the life that I was living was consistent with what I had seen and chosen to believe at that point in time. But then he goes on to say, and I love it here, in my Bible turned a page on me automatically. There we go. Verse 15. But. Now, but is a word that means he's about to change what he's going to say, right? But. When he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his what? His son to me. And he goes on to say, in order that I might preach the gospel, I didn't go to Jerusalem right away. I went into Damascus, into the wilderness to study and prepare for my ministry. What he's basically saying is this. The changing point in my life was that Jesus was revealed to me. Right? Not just the traditions of his fathers, not just Judaism. Was there anything necessarily wrong with those things? Was there anything necessarily wrong with those things? sacrificial system and the priesthood and the Torah, the Old Testament. Was there anything wrong with those? No, not at all. But his focus was not on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, you know? I love this story. It goes on to say in Acts 9, verses 17 and 18, a guy named Ananias comes and he heals. He puts his hands on Paul and he says, you know, the Lord has set you apart for ministry and he sent me to put my hands on you that you may receive your sight. And then it said, what happened to Saul? Something like scales fell from his eyes. And the dude saw for the first time in his life that maybe everything that he had presumed and assumed God and religion and faith and all that kind of stuff was maybe something that he never even expected. What if a life with God is better than what you could ever possibly imagine? What if God was actually, and I'm not talking about us creating God in our image, I'm not talking about that, but what if who God actually is what you ever would, what you always would have hoped that he actually is? So I showed you a bunch of pictures of myself when I was a young gun. I went to school here, I grew up here, and I have a very honest confession for you. I was a very arrogant person. And, but I knew how to use it in the right way. I knew how to feel like a leader, tell people what to do. I was more interested in people seeing me as a leader than being a leader. It's a big difference, right? I was more interested in the recognition. And I've lived probably the majority of my life, I think just up until the last few years, for like recognition for the things that I did. And my faith was something that was maybe deep enough for where I was at that point in time in my life, but I had this concept of God and this picture of God that was really stressful for me to think about. And when I thought of my standing and where do I stand in God's sight, I felt like I was a... honestly, I felt like I was a really good person, and I used my ability to be a leader. I've grown up in the church. My parents teach at the school. Come on. I'm like conference product right here. And I used my spiritual eliteness as a way to control and manipulate others. And as a way to feel better about myself by making other people feel not as good about who they were. There's a lot. I understand there's a wide spectrum of people here, okay? I understand that there is right now in this room a person who has... maybe in your mind you've totally quit on the concept of God. You're here. I don't know who you are, but you're here. And you know when I say this that this is you. And every single thing that you've ever had represented to you, that people said, this is what God is, or this is what it is, this is what it is, you have maybe in a way totally in your mind rebelled and turned your back on that. Okay? I understand that you're here. I have something to say to you. The God of the Bible is infinitely different than whatever misrepresentations people carry around about him. And you need to see with new eyes. Okay? There's also the person in here who's like, man, I mean, I could spout out, I have the 28 fundamental beliefs on flashcards, man. I could throw them out to you, and I know all the texts that go along with every single one, and you know, you're almost a master guide and pathfinder. I don't know, whatever you want to put it, whatever you want to say. There might be the person here, you born and raised in the Adventist church, and maybe you are a loyal person who has come to know Jesus in your heart, and you know what, praise God for that, and that's awesome, and I cheer for what God is doing in your life, and I hope that you continue to listen to the Holy Spirit. But maybe there's also a person in here who has used your, I've always been a part of it, I've always been in the system, as a means to just kind of think that you know what it's all about. You are zealous for the traditions of your fathers. You need to see with new eyes the God of the Bible. I went to Andrews for 1 year. And I realized that life wasn't about me, which is hard when you grow up in an environment like this. and you were always a focus or a center of attention. You know, you go from a small community to a huge community where you don't feel needed and you don't feel like people really know who you are anymore. And that was really hard. And after that, I went to Andrews. No, I was at Andrews. After that, I went to Southern. I finished up my experience in college there at Southern. And the thing that God has taught me and told me is that he's so much more than whatever misconceptions I have formed of him in the past. And if I want to have a real and a living experience with the living God who desperately wants to have a living experience with me, then I need to be willing to see with fresh eyes for a first time. This summer I was in an airport. You guys like to fly? Okay, yeah. I was in Berlin, which is a city in Germany. My family and I think my dad's probably, he's probably told you about a trip that we went on. Anybody heard about our Europe trip? Okay, yeah. Everybody knows, okay. It's really interesting coming to a place where everybody kind of, not necessarily knows you, but kind of knows who you are by extension. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so we finished up our trip. We were leaving Berlin, and we were going to fly from the airport there to Dublin in Ireland, and from Ireland we were going to fly back to Toronto. And so we're going through the security, everything, and anybody kind of like afraid of flying? Okay, if you ever need to go have a heart-to-heart with my mom, you can just go sit down in her office and you guys can commiserate about being afraid of flying together. She buries her face and she asks the stewardess for like anything, throw water at me, put me to sleep, do something. She's a sweetheart. She's terrified of flying though. And you know, it's a scary thing, you know. So we were going to get on a plane, and I'm kind of terrified of flying, but not for the same reason. I'm not necessarily afraid the plane's going to crash. I'm that guy who I get to my gate, and I sit down, and I immediately start looking around, and I start saying, shoot, who's going to hijack this plane? And I promise you that I'm not like some sort of a hateful, labeling, racist person. That's not my agenda at all. But, you know, realistically, we live in a world where that sort of thing happens, and so that's kind of scary. And so we're going through our luggage, you know, our baggage thing, whatever, and we're taking, you know, they go through every single bag that you have, and what's this? Sir, that's a pencil? What's, you know, anyways, they're going through all my stuff, and like, I found them. My eyes have like centered in on this guy who, you know, it sounds terrible. I sound like such like a weird, messed up, twisted person, but let me tell you the truth. Like, I see this guy, and like, I assume that's the dangerous guy right there. Jordan, keep your eyes on him, okay? So I don't know what it was. I think he had a leather jacket, and he looked like he was maybe from like Eastern Europe. And you never know with those Russians. I don't know. I am Russian. I don't even know where the logic came from. But you never know, like, you know, people coming over from like Afghanistan over the mountains and coming into like Eastern Europe or something. And some, I don't know. In my mind, I just saw this intricate plot, and it was a deadly situation. And so I'm going through, you know, the luggage thing, and I'm keeping my eye, you know, looking at his luggage, looking at his baggage, seeing what he has, you know, making sure that I'm doing my own security check in case security doesn't do a good enough job. And so as we're going through, anybody, you like to face your fears more than running away from them? Might as well just get it over with, right? If you're scared of going to the doctor, you might as well just tell the doctor, I'm terrified being here. You're probably going to stick me with needles. I'm like, just tell me right now. You're that kind of person? Okay. So I figured, okay, I'm going to try to strike up conversation with this guy because as fate would always have it, he's standing right next to me in the line and we're kind of going through it. I'm looking at his bag and he's looking at me. And I'm like, hey, hi. Good answer. How you doing? Good? Okay. Start talking. He ends up being a little friendlier than I expected. I mean, like, I was really scared. This sounds psychotic. I was really scared. I didn't tell my parents this. I didn't want to make my mom more afraid than she already was. So, getting really, you know, Sherlock Holmes on them. What you doing in Berlin? It's a good question. Oh, I was just a connecting flight. I'm just on my way from... I've been in Russia. I was like, bingo. Bingo. Okay, so what were you doing there? Like I'm the customs agent or something. And the guy says, oh, well, kind of not supposed to tell you. Now we're talking. Well, I'll tell you anyways, even though I'm not supposed to. I've been planning churches. And we're not supposed to talk about it much because it's a, you know, like, Russia was recently communist for so many years, and communism is so opposed to Christianity and to faith in God, and to do something like that is kind of like an illegal, you know, it's not like illegal, but it's like, it's not going to go over well. You don't want to tell people that you're doing that. It's more of an underground type thing, you know what I mean? The guy starts telling me about planting churches in Russia. And I'm feeling about this small about that. You will spend your entire life acting on the conclusions that you have come to. You will spend your entire life living out the thoughts and the concepts that you have arrived on. If you believe that you're too skinny, you're probably always going to believe that you're too skinny, unless you have some sort of a seeing with new eyes experience. If you believe maybe you're too fat, maybe you're always going to believe you're too fat, unless you have some sort of a seeing with new eyes experience. And if you think that you've totally figured out God, if I think that I've totally figured out God, and if I think that maybe God is this, you know, kind of like tough, menacing, like, you better do my will or else. Like, if I think that God is just waiting and wanting to crush me, or if I think that God is just waiting and wanting to crush all those other non-holy people who aren't like me, then we all need to see with new eyes. I invite you this week, whoever you are and whatever you, you know, wherever you are in your walk with Christ and in your amount of surrender that's happening in your heart, think for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to think in you and through you. And then get in the Bible and let what the Bible has to say form your conclusions. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, you know that it just does my heart so good to be here and to be with people who are now going through something that was my life, and God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit has been speaking, that the truths of the Bible have been clear, that the message has been clear, and I pray that whoever is listening will give you a chance to show them truth. Jesus is the truth. May they come to the Bible, may I come to the Bible. May we be teachable, not like I was for most of my life, or I wasn't. May we be teachable and willing to hear what it is that you want to say to us. May we fall in love with you in a real way for the first time. Seal the decisions that have been made, and through the power of your indwelling Holy Spirit, live out decisions in surrendered hearts from this moment forward throughout this week and for the rest of the students' lives. May you bless them. I don't even know them, and I love them. As much as I love him, you love him even more. And that's such a cool thought, God. We thank you for you and the joy of the resurrection and of Jesus Christ and the Bible. Amen.